And so who do we blame? Well, I don't know that we can put our finger on any one group. It is our industry that has created circumstances now whereby we're trying to reach out and connect literally the world and everything we touch, smell, see, hear, trying to connect it all. So it is by nature a complex problem. And trying to throw old age solutions at what is the most complex problem there is going to result in some failures.
Welcome back to the Peggy Smedley Show, the podcasting voice of IoT and digital transformation.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Peggy Smedley Show. I'm your host, Peggy Smedley. My next guest has more than 25 years of experience in software development for the IoT edge systems, enterprise application integration, and mobile applications. Most recently, he was a distinguished engineer and director of the IoT platform development team within the IoT Solutions Division of Dell Technologies, where he was the chief architect for Dell's largest open source effort to date, EdgeX Foundry. Please welcome Jim White, CTO of IoTech. Jim, welcome to the show.
Peggy, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. You've done some amazing things in your career, you know, thinking about, you know, EdgeX Foundry and thinking about where the edge is, you know, and that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, as we start this new year and we've been talking all about, as the world is trying to put behind it, you know, this pandemic. I mean, we all like to think this year is going to be a year of no longer thinking about the pandemic, which we only can hope for. But, and it starts to engage, you know, we start to move on, you know, with edge and IoT, and we start seeing things emerge. I would love for you to kind of tell me, you know, what is IoTech doing to get us out in front of all these new trends, or just in general to kind of think more positively, to figure out how we can emerge with new things, you know, give us some perspective, because if anyone can do it, I think you can.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, the pandemic has certainly affected us all, hasn't it? And I think what we're seeing as we kind of emerge out of this is that resources are becoming in great need, in great demand. There's a shortage. So how better do you try to take advantage of the dollars and the people and everything you have than to try to put more technology to use? And for us, obviously, at IoTech Systems, that means how do we connect more things, give you more information, and give you some smarts behind that information so that your people can be more productive, your machinery can be more productive, it lasts longer. Those are the types of things that we're focused on, is really trying to bring technology into the forefront as people emerge out of this pandemic to make it work better for all of us.
When you talk about machinery, when you talk about people, I think those are kind of important, because we always say, you know, people, the process, the technology. What exactly, can you define that for me? Because I think when we think about technology, the first thing that comes to mind is that technology is putting people out of jobs. You know, we saw at the end of the year, people were talking about that 4 million people, you know, walked away from their jobs. So is that because technology's doing that? Is that because they didn't want their jobs? You know, the worker of the future is saying, it's not, technology isn't for me, you know, or the technology is putting me out of the job. I mean, help me and help our listeners understand, what are we saying? There's this proliferation of all kinds of things happening right now. And it's a dichotomy of us, all of us going, well, what does this mean for the future when we think about aging workforce, when we think about all of these things? It just seems like there's so much coming at us so quickly, but yet we're not really sure what it all means.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great observation. And I'm certainly not the kind of guy who can talk to all the psychology of why why we have 4 million people leaving the workforce. But what I can say is that, you know, the technologies that we're working on are really to allow us to, as humans, to avoid the mundane, focus on what's important, and to get more time in our days, whether that's more time to do more work or more time to enjoy play. I'll let each individual decide that. But, you know, just kind of as an example, you know, when you think about the types of people that are hired to sit on a point of sale device in a store, and the fact that a store is losing sometimes a lot of money because product walks out the door, it's really hard for people to focus for long periods of time on that. Yet machines could start to do that pretty easily. They can start to identify when there's theft or loss in a point of sale type of system. So let's avoid the mundane type of stuff. Let's avoid having to do the types of tasks that nobody really wants to. Let's let machines do that.
It's an interesting thing that you said that, let machines do that, because we don't want to wait. We want people to be focused on the creative tasks, not the mundane tasks. And that's what you really just described. And I think it's exciting when we talk about that. Are there other IoT use cases you see emerging that companies should really begin thinking about, these new ways of saying, look, forget about putting your employees on those mundane tasks? I mean, that's really important, because I think sometimes companies get lost in the murk, the muddiness of the day to day, and not realize if you focus on these things that your employees can be creative, that's when you get the best out of them. And that's where, when you talk about this, we talk about this, you and I are talking about this post-COVID idea of emerging better, faster than you were, that's when you drive business forward. That's when you drive more profitability. And I think that's where you lead things, as we've been, you know, we talk about the IoT and the edge, and we could do more things overall, and it leads to more productivity, more positive bottom line overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have a number of use cases that we deal with where I see it every day, where right now a lot of organizations are focused on how you just start to collect the data, but we're starting to see things like AI and ML come into play to put it on top of the data to really harvest intelligence out of it. But just look at some use cases that are out there today. As an example, we're working with a smart venue provider, and they're starting to collect all sorts of information to give you, as somebody who attends an event like the US Open tennis tournament, to give you a much better experience, and to give people who are helping in those situations, people who drive the buses, people who are providing for parking, people who are providing for the concession stand services, give you the tools so that you're not just staffing because you think that there might be these kinds of numbers in this particular position at the venue, but because now you know, and you are getting that sensed data right away, and you can act on it. So again, trying to focus in on how we make people's lives better, both those who are providing the services as well as those who are consuming the services, with technology to do that. Another prime example, you know, when I was in the military, we used to spend hours and hours of overhauling vehicles just because you wanted to avoid any kind of maintenance situation when it was critical. Well, now we have the capability with all sorts of sensors to know when something's about to break down, because we're collecting information on those machines, vibration sensors, you know, all sorts of liquid detection sensors and things. So we know when things are going to happen without having to do just active preventative maintenance. We can actually have preventative maintenance based on real-time data and AI systems on top of that will help to tell us. So again, avoid the mundane, help people really do the things that add quality to our lives.
I'm just going to say this right now. Anytime you need anyone to be right there with you, looking at any of your technology at the US Open, I'm right there for you. I'm right there supporting. Anytime you need anyone alongside of you verifying any kind of data at the US Open, I'm right there. I might be holding my tennis racket with you, but listen, I'm there supporting, showing that you're delivering on everything you say. I just want you to know I am there for you, and I'm just saying I'm there, Jim. That's all I'm saying. But
I'm with you.
So let's talk seriously about, you know, your company talks about, you're saying just in military vehicles because of the data, but I think what's an interesting point is your company talks about this sensor fusion, and I think it's interesting because a lot of people talk about sensor data derived from all these different disparate sources. But I like when you talk about the importance of what it means as edge computing. And you're kind of, I think, alluding to it a little bit there. But go into more detail of that, because I think there's a lot to be unpackaged there, especially when you're trying to get the right information to the right people at the right time.
Yeah, we use the term sensor fusion really to say that problems today are an amalgamation of all different types of information coming at you. It's tough for humans to really, in some cases, bring all that data into your brain and process it. But what we find is that if you bring in a whole collection of sensor information, you get a much better picture, a much sharper picture. And you see this in particular with things like visual inference and cameras, right? A lot of people are using cameras to sit above something they want to monitor, and that's great. Visual is one of the best sensing capabilities we have. But what if you can combine that with other sensors that even give you a better picture? Because I can tell you the best AI ML systems today, even out of the box, are going to be somewhat correct, and it's going to take time to evolve. So what you want is a correlation of information. That's how our brains work, is we don't just take one piece of information, we take a whole collection of inputs and come up with a better picture. So sensor fusion for us is taking things like camera visual inference information, combining that with, say, at a point of sale, like I was talking about before, a barcode read, along with a weight scale input, along with other sensors, it might be some sort of RF scan or what have you. All those pieces of information put together can start to be correlated and give you a much better appreciation of what's happening. You know that, hey, this is not the product we thought the person was purchasing versus what they're about to walk out the door with. So we better check it again. Or maybe we've got a problem in the way we're inventorying the systems because the data is not aligning. A lot better information that can really start to sharpen a focus. And we see that kind of being important to almost any one of the IT edge cases.
Is this significant when we just strictly talk about point of sale? Are there other industries that you see are really going to benefit when you talk about combining the barcode and weigh scale, like you just talked about in RF? Because you're really combining a lot of different technologies that do a lot of different things, but when combined, are really bringing the best of the best together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen across industries, across vertical spaces. Another prime example is in the area of things like security. Think about the fact that many organizations today already have some sort of badge reader or some sort of access control in and out of facilities that is sometimes manual, in some cases, some sort of electronic device. Imagine now you also add to that a camera with facial detection.
So, Jim, if you don't mind, talk to me how all of this technology that we've been talking about, collecting all of this, AI and ML being used at the edge and IoT solutions, is it coming together? I mean, are we keeping the bad guys out? Is it helping us from a security perspective? I mean, what is your thoughts right now with all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as I've joked before with our staff, with customers, you can't spell IoT without AI and ML. And there's a certain amount of reality to that, in that there's just too much data, right? When you think about the edge or you think about IoT, there's just too much data there to process on the part of the human brain. We're going to need intelligent systems to be able to help do that for us. And so when you think about the edge, they're typically resource constrained types of environments, but we have the opportunity now to bring AI and ML to the edge. You don't have to train it at the edge, right? That's where there's some complexity there. The training can be happening in the cloud, but we can bring the intelligence down the edge, and we're seeing that in almost every use case. There's just so many opportunities there. And going to your question about security, one of the things I think I try to encourage people too is don't look at this always as AI AI ML and IoT and edge as being Big Brother looking down upon us. I think we also have to look at it as an opportunity to help improve lives. It's not always about keeping the wrong people out. It's about having the right people in the circumstances where you need them. Do you have the right people around, from an emergency standpoint, to be able to run something efficiently? Or do you have the right personnel in the right meeting rooms, things of that nature? So it works both ways, but AI and ML is going to be an instrumental part of everything we do going forward.
Help me really understand. We've seen this proliferation of exponential growth, maybe is a better way of putting it. And now we're looking at, we've seen, 2G, 3G, 4G, now 5G. How is that really impacting all of this technology? Should we worry about it? I mean, because people have a lot of fears when we talk about 5G. Is 5G going to help in all of this when we talk about the edge and IoT and all these use cases? Or is it right now, it's just another thing that we say it's great for it? Or do we have to worry about the speeds and feeds as we talk about all of it right now?
Yeah, so I tell people, you know, I'm a software guy at heart, and so when you talk about something like a 5G, to me, what that provides is just a bigger, stronger, fatter pipe. Meaning, it gives me more bandwidth and it gives me ability to connect more things at the edge, to your enterprise, to your cloud. So from that perspective, it's a better transportation network. But it's much more than that too, as we all know. And I think from what we're seeing on the part of the industry, what it's also starting to enable, companies are thinking about putting 5G private networks. That's what really excites us, is the private network aspect. Putting almost, if you want to think about it, a cell phone tower inside of a factory or inside a hospital that's 5G. Now, all of a sudden, it's more secure, it's faster, it allows for data to be sucked up from all these things and be made available to all sorts of applications. So it's providing a better pipe, but not just in terms of being fatter and bigger, but also more secure and allowing us to access a lot more things on a local basis as we look at it from that perspective.
So why do people sit there and they talk about, we've got 5G, we've got the cloud, we're talking about the edge. Does it matter for some companies in the way they should be viewing all of this right now? Or are we just saying, look, you know what, it just really depends on what you are. Don't get lost in all of the rhetoric that's out there. Really view what's happening right now on what your particular use case is. Because I feel like right now, a lot of companies aren't taking the journey because they really don't know what they should be doing, you know, because they're overwhelmed by just all the things. You know, we throw another acronym, it's acronym soup, or, you know, it's overwhelming for a company, and they just sit on the sidelines and they go, I'm just not getting caught up into this until it settles down.
Yeah, I think you have a certain amount of fatigue with IoT from that perspective recently. You know, I saw a report from ISI that said that something like 77% of project managers who, you know, started a project in IoT have found to be less than fully successful. But then you read like the McKinsey report recently where they said, hey, that is part of the problem, is trying to piece and part this together, right? The challenges are the scale of the system, but how are you going to deal with everything together? They talk about pilot purgatory, where, you know, companies have tried these little things, but then they didn't really think about the huge scale that when you really go to production, you need to think about. So that means you really have to think about not just dipping your toe in the water, but how do you deal with the whole scale and finding good partners to work with, thinking about changing your organization, pushing for interoperability, really trying to shape your entire organization, your entire environment around what are some huge business potentials, but you can't do this in a piecemeal part type of way. And that's what our company really tries to talk about with our customers, is we recognize that right now there are a lot of pieces and parts out there that you can kind of assemble on your own. What organizations are really looking for are solutions, ones that can kind of bring everything together and stitch it all together and try to give you fully baked solutions that scale, not just the pieces and the parts.
But isn't that the point, Jim? I really kind of have to think that when a company then has this fatigue that you just described, who's to blame for that? Because I think when somebody says, I don't understand cloud, I don't understand edge, I don't understand IoT, I don't understand 5G, and they're just saying, you know what, I'm just at that point, you know, I don't know how to define it, I don't want to do it, and therefore I'm just stuck. And then they say, we spent money, we went in this journey, it didn't work for us, so now we don't want to do anything, and we're tired of it. Who is to blame that a company feels that frustration, that fatigue, as you use that word? Who do we blame? Do we blame the consultant that came in there, or the company that, you know, the tech company? I mean, there's got to be somebody, because a company shouldn't feel that way if they went down the right path to begin with. The digital transformation should work.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And as I was building EdgeX Foundry, and we talked to a lot of organizations, that was the complexity of it. As I told people, IoT or edge computing is a PhD dissertation in everything we've known in computer science since the beginning. You know, you have, as you said, you have to know networking, you have to know mobile technology, you have to know things in OT technology. So there's a lot there. And so who do we blame? Well, I don't know that we can put our finger on any one group. It is our industry that has created the circumstances now whereby we're trying to reach out and connect literally the world and everything we touch, smell, see, hear, trying to connect it all. So it is by nature a complex problem. And trying to throw old age solutions at what is the most complex problem there is going to result in some failures. So you kind of have to consume that. And if you're looking at it as a business, you have to say, it is fraught with potential problems, but I'm going to have to try to embrace it, because to do otherwise is going to lead my company down a path that makes it not competitive. And that means finding the right partners, finding groups that have actually been there. And I was starting to look at this from the scale problem that it really is and the complexity problem that it really is, rather than trying to look at this as, well, let's try one little smart project on a Raspberry Pi and see if we can't get that to scale. That's where you're going to start to have problems.
I've been doing this for almost 25 years, and I have to say, it just hit me just now as you and I were talking, Jim. It's kind of like a medical doctor. You know, you're practicing. IoT has been kind of a practice. You know, everybody's been practicing as the technology's grown. You've all grown together with it. It's been a journey. You don't like the word journey, but it really is, if you think about it, because you don't want to blame any one company. You don't want to blame any one business. It's kind of like you're learning about going to open source. Kind of you've all worked together. You're kind of practicing, but you all have to go down this path together, and you're learning as you've all been going. And it's not to say that that's wrong, but that's a medical doctor. Do we blame a medical doctor when they can't find the cure? No, because they're practicing their profession, and it gets better. Just like when we find a cure, it's almost like that's what we've learned. The technology gets better. I maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I'm hearing it. When I hear you talk a little bit more, and it seems to be legit.
I think you're correct. I think it is a matter of evolution. We've been down some of these paths before. I mean, think about when you had your very first mobile phone and what you could do with it versus what you can do today. Or think about the immersion of everything going to cloud. We've been down some of these paths, but what we see with IoT and edge computing is that it's all of those plus, right? It's stitching together everything we've ever done. And so there's a certain amount of interoperability that is required that just hasn't been at this scale before. And we're bridging into operational technology areas we've never had to before. You know, OT guys, you know, when I've worked at various companies before, the OT guys you never spoke to if you were in the IT department.
Those islands of automation, for sure, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and now all of a sudden, those guys are, if not forced, they're being asked to try to figure out how to bring all that into the boardroom at the enterprise level. And that's scary business, and it's tough business, and it requires a whole new level of thought process and integration that we've never done. So you're right. It is a matter of education. It's a matter of practice. We're getting better at it. I tend to be optimistic about it and thinking that in some years time, I'm not going to put a number on it, but in some years time, we're really not going to ever be talking about IoT and edge, because it will just be part of what we do. It's just an extension of everything that we've done before, and we're just taking it out to the furthest extremes of the network.
And thinking about that, I mean, that's the same way IoT and edge, but everyone needs to understand that. And right now, it's painful. IT, OT, it's painful. Edge, all of that, and people think it's, but it shouldn't be. And it's a process we all have to get through. It's just like everything else that we've overcome hurdles. And people don't like that. They don't like to think that there's disruption. Just like we didn't like what the pandemic has done, it's created this disruption. So, I mean, you're helping companies build this next evolution, wouldn't you say? That? I mean, you're helping them build software markets, leading them down paths that maybe they didn't know they could, but that's going to help them be successful in building their products for their customer's customer. Wouldn't you, I agree. You would agree with me, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a disruptive time, and this is a disruptive space. It is changing a lot of things that we do and how we do them. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take some evolution. I won't say that we're going to be successful in every part of it. As we've seen, there are certain areas where this type of technology has been very, very successful fairly quickly, and others that it's going to take a little bit longer. And there's going to be even other areas where we're going to have to say, whoa, slow down here. Is this something we want to happen? You know, in particular, some of the things that we're doing in places like the medical field, or if we're looking at facial recognition and things of that nature, you have to pause a little bit to make sure you're on the right moral path, but it is, I think, going to be one where, again, we have to. The world only has so many resources, so many people, and we have to provide for the ability to make more out of what we have.
But isn't that an interesting point, though, Jim? I mean, companies have to kind of understand that even though there's going to be a little pain, even the best things that we have in life, you know, you understand the journey that you, I have to kind of talk about this. The transformation we experience is always worthwhile when we get to the other end. I know as long as you're with a company you trust and they're taking that transformation journey with you, it's worthwhile. It's not that you feel abandoned. If they take the journey with you, they're going to see some positive end results. And I think that's what a company like yours is trying to show them, is that, look, you're not going to be abandoned. We're all going to go down this together. And I think that's the difference that a lot of the companies early on felt that frustration because they didn't feel like they were in it together with some of these companies. Is that part of what I think companies need to understand and experience and say, they're not going to be alone in this?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about, both from the open source community and in our own company, we talk about the fact that IoT edge systems or solutions require an ecosystem. It, kind of like Hillary Clinton's book, right? It takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to raise an IoT or edge solution as well. And that's why the ecosystem is so important. So I always encourage companies that are on this path. This is not an endeavor by which you want to do things on your own. You have to be part of a larger ecosystem. There are a number of ecosystems out there, and I think they're kind of starting to merge because they're all finding they have to also interoperate. But find the ecosystem most aligned to what it is you're trying to accomplish and use that ecosystem to your advantage, because you do not want to do this on your own, as you were alluding to before. This is a complex problem. Again, the PhD dissertation, and we don't have enough PhDs to solve it on our own. We have to kind of leverage people who've been down this before and can help us.
And not every ecosystem is going to be together. I mean, just what you just described, there's going to be an ecosystem you're going to work with. And, you know, because that's part of it. We all think we're all going to play together and it might not be. I mean, and that's part of it. But as long as you develop the solutions that work for you, it's that idea that it's not one and done. It's you're creating something that is successful for what you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, we will see as things evolve, we will see a little bit of collapse in the marketplace. I'm hoping that won't be the type where companies will lose, but it will just kind of be merged in and things will be more interoperable. But we do have a lot of companies out there chasing in this space and a lot of companies trying to put together solutions. Not all of them will win. It's important to be aligned, we think, from an open perspective, right? The more open you are, the more chances you have that people understand and see and can work with you to interoperate. The more closed off you are, that's where things get to be a little bit difficult. You really got to, you know, be big enough and strong enough to take on the whole marketplace, again, almost going alone, or you're going to find yourselves in a position where you're on the outside looking in.
I tell you, these are truly exciting times. You know, Jim White, CTO of IoTech, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. Where can our listeners go to learn more about what you guys are doing and to partner up?
We would love to have people take a look at our website, www.iotechsys.com.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for all your time today.
Thank you, Peggy. Appreciate it.
All right, listeners, thank you. That's all the time we have for this segment. Check out our website at connectedworld.com, our show website at thepeggysmedleyshow.com. But most importantly, what I want you to do is tweet at me at ConnectedWMag. I want you to share your thoughts, and I'm sure Jim will share his thoughts with you if you post a tweet or two. All right, this is The Peggy Smedley Show, the podcasting voice of IoT and digital transformation. And remember, with great technology comes great responsibility. We'll be right back after this commercial break.